This is Radio Hangar, where the aviation conversation never stops. Good to have you with us. I'm Tower, and this is ATIS, your aviation news briefing. We've got a packed board today. United Airlines is rolling out what they're calling their best business class seat ever, and we're going to talk about what that actually costs. Boeing just posted a quarter that has people paying attention again. A major European aviation trade show just got canceled out of nowhere, and we'll take a look at why the biggest military cargo plane in the world flew for decades without a glass cockpit. Let's get into it. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. All right, lead story. United Airlines has been talking up their new Polaris Studio product for a while now, and we're starting to get a clearer picture of what passengers will actually pay for it on long-haul routes. This is the next generation of United's international business class. We're talking about a fully enclosed suite with a door, more personal space, improved storage, and what United is positioning as the best seat they've ever offered in business class. Here's what you need to know. The Polaris Studio is not just a rebrand. This is a meaningful step up from the current Polaris layout. Think of it as United's answer to the enclosed suite products you've been seeing from the Gulf carriers and some of the Asian airlines. A private space with a door that closes, more width, better sleeping surface. It's the kind of product that makes a 14-hour flight feel like a different experience. Now, pricing. Based on what we're seeing in early fare filings and industry analysis, these seats on long-haul routes, think Newark to London, San Francisco to Tokyo, are likely going to command a premium over the current Polaris fares. We're talking estimates in the range of $8,000 to $12,000 round trip on popular transatlantic and transpacific routes, depending on the market and how far out you book. That's not dramatically higher than what premium Polaris fares already go for on some routes, but it does represent a new ceiling for United's business class product. Why does this matter to you as a general aviation pilot or aviation enthusiast? A couple of reasons. First, the airline industry's willingness to invest heavily in premium cabin products tells you something about where the money is in commercial aviation right now. Airlines are not chasing volume at the front of the plane. They're chasing yield, revenue per seat. That trend has been accelerating since the pandemic, and United is betting big that high-end business travelers will pay more for a meaningfully better product. Second, if you're someone who flies commercial for work and flies general aviation for passion, this is the kind of upgrade that might actually change your calculus on certain trips. A 14-hour flight in an enclosed suite is a different conversation than 14 hours in an open business class cabin. United plans to roll this out on their new wide-body deliveries first, so it'll show up gradually across the long-haul fleet. Keep an eye on route announcements if this is something that matters to your travel. Let's move to the manufacturing side of things, because Boeing had a quarter worth talking about for the first time since the 737 MAX crisis. Boeing has beaten Airbus on quarterly deliveries. Boeing delivered 143 commercial aircraft in the first quarter of 2026. That's a number that would have seemed ambitious not long ago, and it was enough to edge out Airbus, which has been dealing with its own supply chain constraints. The headline doesn't tell the whole story here. Airbus didn't suddenly fall apart. They've been wrestling with engine supply issues and other component bottlenecks that have limited their ability to ramp up production the way they want to. So part of Boeing's win this quarter is Boeing executing better, and part of it is Airbus being constrained by factors partially outside their control. But let's give credit where it's due. Boeing has been through a rough stretch, the MAX grounding, the quality control issues, the leadership changes, the factory slowdowns. For them to post a quarter where they're out-delivering Airbus, even by a narrow margin, that's a meaningful signal. It suggests the production system is stabilizing. The 737 line in particular appears to be finding its rhythm again. For general aviation pilots, you might wonder why airline deliveries matter to you. Here's the connection. Boeing's health affects the broader aerospace supply chain. When Boeing is running well, that has downstream effects on parts suppliers, avionics manufacturers, and the general economic health of the aviation ecosystem. A healthy Boeing is better for everyone in this industry. Now, a story that caught a lot of people off guard. The European Business Aviation Association has canceled EBACE 2026. That's the European Business Aviation Convention and Exhibition, and it was scheduled to take place in less than 2 months. This is not a small event. EBACE is one of the premier business aviation shows in the world, typically held in Geneva. It draws manufacturers, operators, charter companies, and industry leaders from across the globe. The cancellation came with relatively little warning, and the details on exactly why are still emerging. But canceling a major international trade show less than 2 months out is not a decision anyone makes lightly. There are significant financial commitments from exhibitors, travel arrangements, and business deals that get structured around these events. This affects you if you're in the business aviation world, obviously. But even if you're purely a general aviation pilot, EBACE cancellations ripple through the industry. Product announcements get delayed or redirected. networking that drives deals and partnerships gets disrupted, and it raises questions about the broader business aviation market in Europe right now. We'll keep an eye on this and bring you more as the European Business Aviation Association provides additional details on what happened and whether they plan to reschedule. Let's shift gears a bit. This one's just a good aviation story. John Travolta. The man has been a passionate aviator for decades. He holds multiple type ratings. He's flown his own 707. And a recent look inside his private jet setup reminds you that when someone combines serious wealth with serious passion for flying, the results are something else. Travolta's aviation life isn't just about luxury, though the interior of his aircraft is certainly that. It's about a guy who genuinely loves airplanes. He's been an ambassador for aviation in Hollywood for years, and he's put his money where his mouth is in terms of actually flying, actually training, actually staying current. You don't hold the type ratings he holds by writing checks, you hold them by putting in the work. For those of us in general aviation, Travolta is one of the more visible examples of someone who made it big in another field and chose to pour that success back into aviation. Love the celebrity angle or ignore it, but the man flies and that's worth respecting. Finally, a question that might have crossed your mind if you've ever seen a C-5 Galaxy up close. Why didn't the world's largest military cargo aircraft have a glass cockpit for decades? The C-5 first flew in 1968. It's been a backbone of American strategic airlift capability ever since. And for most of its service life, the cockpit looked like it belonged in a museum. Steam gauges everywhere. Analog instruments, the kind of panel that makes a 1960s Cessna look modern by comparison. The answer comes down to military procurement priorities. When you have an airframe that works, that can carry oversized cargo no other aircraft can handle, the pressure to modernize the cockpit takes a back seat to keeping the fleet operational and funding other programs. The military doesn't upgrade avionics on the same cycle as the airlines. If the airplane does its job, and the crews can be trained on the existing systems, there's less urgency to spend the money. That changed with the C-5M Super Galaxy program, which finally brought a digital cockpit, new engines, and improved reliability to the fleet. But it took decades to get there. It's a fascinating case study in how military aviation priorities differ from the commercial world, where airlines will upgrade cockpits for fuel savings and reduce crew workload at the first opportunity. That's your briefing for today. Sources for this segment include Simple Flying, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, and AeroTime. As always, Radio Hangar is an AI-generated broadcast, put together by pilots who care about getting the story right and giving you the context behind the headlines. If you want to dig deeper on anything we covered, head over to radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Thanks for listening to ATIS. Stay sharp out there, and we'll see you next time. Radio Hangar, clear skies, and tailwinds.